This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
It's Vankerhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hello.
On today's episode, we're catching up on the news from the last few weeks, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. So we apologize for another lengthy delay.
We were busy.
Busy with what?
We had a wedding.
A wedding?
Not a red one.
Or a purple one.
It was more navy and silver.
Navy and silver. And it was very much not full of death.
No, it was full of fun and food and Star Wars, as all weddings should be.
Yeah, it was a rollicking good time. We'll talk
we
more about it.
We sound so unenthusiastic about our damn wedding.
Because we spent so much time planning it.
We got married! Yay!
Hooray! Hooray! We'll talk more about that in a second. The good news, though, is that we're going to be getting back on a regular schedule because the wedding is over. We no longer have to plan and run around like crazy people for it.
Yes.
And that means more regular recording.
Yay!
Also helps that my work schedule has changed, so I am no longer working until 9 o'clock at night every third month.
Because Nancy cannot stay up late because she's an old lady.
No.
Medium old lady?
Oh, whatever.
I like sleep.
Who doesn't like sleep? Before we get too much further down the rabbit hole, Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And speaking of Her Universe, we've got some new stuff to talk about that Ashley has released, and it's all very exciting.
Yes.
Hey, before we get too much further, Nancy, what's new on the blog since the last time we got together almost a month ago?
Oops. Well, as we mentioned last time on the podcast, our very own Bria was at AwesomeCon in Washington, D.C. and moderated the Star Wars panel there with Tim Zahn and John Morton, a.k.a. Dak from The Empire Strikes Back, and one of our listeners slash blog readers, Frank Rich, sent in a video of the panel, so you can see that on our blog. Thanks very much, Frank, for that. If you like Star Wars and or conventions, be sure to give that a watch. And our very good friend Nut provided a tutorial on how to make your own interactive R2-D2 Mickey Mouse ears.
And they are very, very, very cool.
They are very, very cool, but I got lost around step 5.
But
I
am obviously
not an engineer.
if you're electronically inclined, do check out that tutorial. It's really, really neat.
And I don't know why Disney doesn't sell them that way, because I don't know how many times she has people asking her in the park where she got them. And there's a lot of fan-made R2 ears, or Mickey ears, rather, that I see in the park. Like, I saw an X-Wing pilot.
I still can't believe they're not selling that
last
one somewhere.
Year, and I also saw this year someone made Ahsoka ears, and they gave a pair to Ashley. So,
which those ones were very, very cool.
Yes. We got a lot of comic reviews, because comics come out a lot.
We may not be getting books right now, but we still got comics, and poor Bria last week.
Yes. Bria reviewed Darth Maul, Son of Dathomir, number 1, which is, I believe, the first comic to be put out under the new canon story group overarching umbrella.
So if for some reason canonicity matters to you, this one's canon.
Yes.
This one counts.
And I believe it is based on what was going to happen in the Clone Wars in regards to Darth Maul. Just Darth Maul, not other characters. But so hopefully his story will be concluded here. And we don't see him pop up in episode 7.
What, you're tired of Spider-Maul?
Maybe.
I guess you're going to tell me you're tired of Boba Fett.
What? Never. I love Boba Fett so much. I hope no one isolates that and it comes back to haunt me.
This is why I need to get a soundboard made up. And if someone wants to volunteer to cut up these podcast episodes and isolate those fun bits of audio, be my guest.
No. Also, Bria reviewed the Star Wars number 8, Legacy number 15, and Rebel Heist number 2. And Emily reviewed Serenity number 5. And so there's a lot of comics that came out recently. And I have not made a post about this, but I think now that we have pictures, I might be writing a pictorial blog post of the Very Tashi Station weekend.
A Very Tashi Station weekend?
Yes. That was last week.
Is this going to be a special episode on the blog?
Yes, because we were all together in person and the world did not end.
We got to do this around the holidays so we can just do a holiday episode of A Very Special Tashi Station Christmas. Would that not be the best thing or the best thing?
No.
Okay, and on that note, it's time for Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to in the last month or so. Sorry.
Oh, well.
Star Wars Weekends is in full swing.
Woo!
Yeah, we're having a great time with it.
Isn't it fun being here where you can go every weekend and you don't have to plan stuff and you just go to Star Wars Weekends?
And I don't feel obligated to stay through the hottest heat wave in the last half decade.
And, like, the best part is, like, we don't have to stay the whole day because we've already seen James's show. We saw Ray Park's show last year. So we can leave once the main Stars of the Saga show is over with, and we don't have to show up until super early in the morning. So it's great.
It really is. And, who was out there the first week?
It was Peter Mayhew and Ahmed Best. And
Ahmed Best is hilarious.
Yes, he is very funny. I was actually really annoyed when I saw people grousing that Jar Jar Binks was good to be there the weekend they were there. But just because you might not like Jar Jar Binks doesn't mean Ahmed Best is not awesome. And he's extremely funny and just a very nice gentleman. They played the clip of him on Robot Chicken, for which he won an Annie Award when he was playing Jar Jar, and it was that never fails to.
Oh, that always amuses me. His bit on Robot Chicken.
Yes, and also the Vanessa Marshall was there the first week from Rebels. It's very cool. Now they have all the Rebels guests, and they are really building up the excitement for the show, showing exclusive clips stolen by Chopper the Droid.
Yep, all of the new voice cast, except for Freddie Prinze Jr., will be at Star Wars Weekends. Hey, Freddie, what gives, man? Come on.
I don't know. Maybe he thought we were too much for him.
Oh.
I think I heard a rumor that he was scheduled to be there for one of the weeks, but I don't know if something came up, and Taylor Gray is there 2 weeks now, but week 2 was Jeremy Bullock and Warwick Davis, always fun guests. I did not get to see them because I had to leave the parks early, but I've seen Stars of the Saga with them and Warwick Davis' show.
Well, that's very okay that you didn't get to see Warwick because we bumped into him twice at Epcot
Tuesday. I didn't see him the first time. I saw him the second time outside of the Norway Pavilion, and he was just hanging out with his family, chilling. Some little girl asked him for his autograph, and he signed it. And then he went off on his scooter with his family. And week two was also Tia Sirkar, which I was kind of bummed I didn't get to see her behind the Force. And then this past week was Ray Park, always a guest there. He's also a guest this upcoming weekend.
He does his own stunt show, when he's there, and it's very, very entertaining.
Yeah, if you have not seen it, and you get a chance to, I highly recommend it. I've seen it several times, so we don't have to go see it this year. And John Ratzenberger, a first-time Star Wars Weekend guest.
Hey, it's a little-known fact that a herd of bantha can only move as fast as the slowest one. It's I mean, I'm sure you didn't know that, Sammy.
Yes. He was really funny. They showed some really funny clips.
And they got some of the Pixar and Lucasfilm people to put together some video that was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. And, the guest this week and upcoming weekend was Taylor Gray. And, they showed a clip of Ezra that was really kind of cool. He seems like he'll be a fan favorite for the younger kids, which I'm sure that's what they're going for. And the clip with Hera from the first week was fabulous.
That clip was pure unadulterated fun.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. So it's been a grand old time. Saw fireworks. And I don't know if we're going to be there much in this weekend, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much worth going to see this weekend.
They got Ray Park again. Ray's
back.
Taylor Gray is back.
If you've seen them. But
They also got Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, Billy Dee. Yeah.
I actually have never seen him.
Who was the other guy?
Mark Hamill!
Mark Hamill is at Star Wars Weekend. You and I were hunting fast passes last Friday.
We were stalking them where my finger was on the trigger ready to go, and I got two for Saturday and Sunday for the special A Conversation with Mark Hamill show, and I'm so very, 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 very excited. We're going to get there and basically go sit down on the curb for 3 hours, right?
We're Star Wars fans. We do waiting in lines and for things.
Yeah.
Except this time we'll have to do it in a lot of heat and humidity. But oh well, it's worth it.
Whatever. Worth it.
We'll be hanging out on the parade route with our 501st buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I want to go right near the start of the parade, like the first day, and then walk up to the stage, and then the second day, like, get a spot in the middle of the parade route, and then wait for them to come back down like they're supposed to. So
yeah, I think that will be that would be worth it. A whole lot of fun. I'm very excited for this weekend. And there is something else coming up on the final Sunday of Star Wars Weekends, though, that I have to plug on the show.
Apparently Brian will be wearing tights.
Yes.
Why do you get to buy the leggings and I don't get to buy the leggings?
I don't know. But yes, I've been recruited for something that David and Ashley Eckstein are calling Men in Tights Day, or Real Men Wear Tights Day, at the final Sunday of Star Wars Weekends. Yeah, that's a thing that's going to happen. Our good friend Savannah decided to pull me into this, and before I knew it, I was just in the area. She'd gotten David Eckstein to kind of give me a push into doing Men in Tights Day at Star Wars Weekends.
And when David Eckstein recruits you for something, you say yes!
Yeah. So that'll be fun. It's bringing awareness to a great product.
Yeah.
I at least get to wear shorts over the tights, though. So I've got.
Well, Ashley wore shorts over them this past week.
That's true.
The leggings with sparkly sequin shorts.
I will not, however, be wearing sparkly sequin shorts because I don't own any sparkly sequin shorts.
We can change that.
Do we really want to? I feel like me inflicting myself in tights on the world is bad enough.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so there you go. I'll be wearing tights at Star Wars Weekend. It's just what you've all wanted.
I do.
Oh, okay. apart from Star Wars Weekends, is there anything else we want to say about Star Wars Weekends that we've done and seen? Maybe offer some tips for anyone coming out to the last two weekends?
Make sure you get a spot for the motorcade early. Because it's really the length of the parade is pretty short and all the good spots go pretty quickly. The finale show that they have this year is really kind of lame, so don't worry about being close to the stage for that.
What you do want, though, is making sure you've got a nice view looking straight on at the big Mickey hat.
Yes.
So you can see the excellent fireworks show.
It's actually not good to be close to the hat.
No, the further back you are, the better the fireworks are. Yes. So get a spot on that main street thing.
Yes.
Hollywood Boulevard, I think they call it.
Yes, okay. Hollywood Boulevard.
Get a spot just along Hollywood Boulevard, and then when the fireworks start, step into the street, look up, and enjoy the sights of fireworks set to John Williams' music.
It's my favorite fireworks show.
It's a very good fireworks show. Also very loud. We can hear them from our house at night.
Yep, we can. And also, if you do go and you like to get your pictures with characters, there are a lot of options. And we like to plug Ewok Chippendale, which have a meeting spot right outside of the writer's stop.
Ewok Chippendale are absolutely adorable.
Yes.
And
they have the best character handler.
Yes, a big shout out to cast member Jason, who is the handler for Ewok Chippendale. He is a load of fun, delightful, and somehow makes waiting in line an enjoyable experience.
He's pretty much the stereotypical Disney cast member.
We did find out he got his start as a Jungle Cruise skipper,
which
and it all made so
much
sense. But no, Jason's great. And hey, if there's any Disney folks listening to this, give Jason a bonus, would you? He's done
yes.
a great job all Star Please. Wars weekends.
He took selfies. He takes selfies and does tap dances and. What more could you want?
All around good guy, exactly what you'd hope to find out of a cast member. Might be the most notable, enjoyable cast member I've ever run into at the parks.
Yes. And also, Darth Maul is a great place to buy lots and lots of merchandise.
And a great place to get into air conditioning.
Yes, very much so. Other than Star Wars weekends, we haven't really been doing much. We tried
something about a wedding we've been getting ready for.
We tried to go see X-Men Days of Future Past, but we were thwarted by Disney parking evilness at Downtown Disney. So I have still not seen.
Maybe this Friday.
I need to see that movie for reasons.
Are those reasons potentially Michael Fassbender and Hugh Jackman's butt?
Yes.
Okay.
I will not try to deny that.
Hey, as long as we're all honest here.
The reasons we haven't really been doing anything else other than Disney is we had a wedding that took up most of our time and effort and money. Yeah.
I think we should talk about the wedding, though, since it was
somewhat
geeky wedding.
Should we?
I mean, it might be the geekiest thing you and I have done in a while. That's right. Pull that for context. Our wedding, the geekiest thing Nancy and Brian have done in a while.
Well, it was lovely. My dear friend Robin and Shannon contributed to the planning and the design and the flowers and all of that stuff and made it beautiful on a budget and got a lot of nerdy touches. We got our pictures back yesterday and they are amazing. Brian's brother took them. What other geeky things do we have? We had a Vision of the Future ring box.
Yes, you hollowed out a copy of Timothy Zahn's Vision of the Future that we placed our rings in.
Yes, and it was awesome. We also had the ceremony script inside, taped inside my copy of Union by Mike Sackball. And we had our friend Shannon designed our own personal family crest.
We have a family crest. How awesome is that?
With an X-wing and
our
dragon
symbols.
Yes, to represent our love of space, and a dragon to represent Dragon Con.
And dragons, because dragons are awesome.
But mostly Dragon Con. And also a quill for Harry Potter and writing. I use my R2-D2 popcorn bucket as a purse, and I just plopped him up on the table because he fit the decorations. Our invitations were Star Wars themed. We had our friend Nut, aka the R2 ears maker, made us origami X-Wings, 6 squadrons worth of them, and we placed those at everyone's place setting. My shoes were space patterned. You wore your Rogue Squadron sneakers. Your boutonniere was flight suit orange. We had a guest book poster with a Death Star on it, and it says, "I love you to the moon and back."
Then there was our seating chart.
Yes.
Which was done in the style of the Star Tours reader board.
Yes. And all of the tables were named after Star Wars planets. And the Tashi Station staff was placed at Alderaan, and that flight was canceled.
Yes. Written in Orbish, canceled.
Sorry, Bria.
Sorry, Bria.
We didn't do it. We didn't. We were not.
We weren't clued into this until our friend Shannon sent us the preview print.
And I laughed my butt off, I admit. And we had a R2-D2 card box. It was a white trash can with a flippy lid, and we. Shannon painted it to look like R2-D2. And we had a photo booth with props.
That's right. Lightsaber and blaster at the photo booth.
Yes, and some Star Wars faces, and also a top hat and a monocle.
Because
and a mustache.
What's a photo booth without a top hat, monocle, and mustache?
Right. What else? Do we have anything else that I can think of? Oh, well, all the music. We had Star Wars music.
You walked down to Across the Stars.
I did.
And I cried.
And I cried. we walked. The recessional was the throne room theme, which I think is pretty popular for Star Wars weddings. And we had the Miko disco theme. Had the Imperial March was played when we cut the cake.
The lightsaber cake cutters.
Yes, the lightsaber cake cutters, which took a long time to make, but they were awesome. And not Star Wars, but our first dance was to Love is an Open Door from Frozen.
As you do.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think maybe one day this week I'm going to write a pictorial blog post with all of the Star Wars touches. Because... why not? Oh, and I wore the new Her Universe R2-D2 hair clip.
More on that in a moment.
Yes.
In a moment.
Yes.
But yes, that was the wedding. It was delightful. It was fun. It was everything I hoped it would be. You hoped it would be. And then we finished off the day back at Star Wars Weekends with John Williams and fireworks.
We did.
Perfect capper to our wedding day, I think.
It was.
Okay, that's enough of us gushing about our wedding. Moving on to Deke's Dirt news and rumors from around fandom. There's not going to be a Cammy's Concerns this week because there's a bit of news that dropped today we need to talk about.
Yes.
Boy, am I glad we didn't record this yesterday like we
and
were talking
you
about.
You said something like, oh, if we record it, they'll have news break. And I'm like, they're not going to have news break. Then nothing was like, what are they going
to
talk about?
What's left to announce?
Yeah.
Well, you'll see.
Yes.
But we're going to start with Her Universe debuting a boatload of new products at Star Wars Weekends.
Yes. It's really pretty awesome, all the products they have. Her Universe is becoming more and more like an actual, like, fashion design studio where they have products come out for certain events, like, you know, designers will put out their fall collection or their spring collection. And it seems like Ashley is trying to go that way, and instead of just like randomly putting out shirts whenever, she's gonna have stuff come out for special occasions. But that also means that items are not gonna stick around for all of the time. So if you want something, pick it up.
Go get it. Get it while you still can.
Yes. But
do not wait, run, don't walk.
But there was a lot of cool products that were released for Star Wars weekends. There was two really cute dresses, a Han Solo costume dress and a vintage print dress. Two skirts, a Rebel print skirt and an R2-D2 print skirt. A sequined Rebel top and a sequined Imperial tank. Imperial leggings. In R2-D2.
The aforementioned leggings I will be wearing at the final Sunday of Star Wars weekends, because real men wear tights.
Yes, an R2-D2 t-shirt, a Boba Fett and an Ewok tank hoodie that are similar in style to the X-Wing, the Rogue Squadron hoodie that came out last year. What else and a logo tee that's designed specifically for plus sizes. Also worth noting is that all of the designs, I think, go up to at least 2X, and some of them go up to 4X, which is very cool, because Ashley is really cognizant of everyone being able to wear the products.
Yeah, she is going out of her way now to get suppliers who will and can get up to the plus sizes.
Yeah, and the logo tee is very, very, it's very cool. It's a sequin, got the Star Wars sequined. And I think that's all of them. And also the My Hero jewelry collection, which is all R2-D2 themed. There's necklaces, earrings, rings, and a hair clip, which I purchased. I also purchased the vintage print dress, which is the most comfortable thing I own. Seriously, it's like sleeping in bed sheets. It's like wearing bed sheets. Yes, that's better.
Sounds like the start of a toga party.
Yes, very much so. And also I have the Rebel top, which is adorable, and I love that I can wear it to work, and the Rebel skirt. So basically I bought 4 Star Wars products that I can wear to work on a regular basis, and that makes me really, really happy.
And my 10-year-old sister, who was in town for the wedding, stopped by Darth Small and picked up the R2 skirt and the Rebel sequin top, and she absolutely loves them.
Yeah, she hasn't taken them off, really. Yeah.
So high marks to all of the new offerings this year.
Yes. I will say that if you buy the skirts, they tend to run small.
Is that both of the skirts, or?
I didn't try the R2 one, but I'm assuming it's the same fit.
Okay.
But, there's a lining underneath that is fitted. So, I probably could have worn a small, but the lining made it really small, and I actually ended up cutting out the lining just because I didn't care for it.
Works well in colder weather climates.
Yeah.
If you're not here in Florida, we are, you might want to consider carefully cutting that out. But you can, and apparently you said it helped with the fit a lot.
I just liked it because I like A-line skirts better than fitted skirts. And The Han Solo dress, we saw lots of girls wearing that at Star Wars
weekends. The first Friday of Star Wars weekends, Bria had us go pick one up for her just so they didn't run out.
Yeah, and we actually had a friend of ours wear it at our wedding, and we have a picture of her at the bar, which I thought was funny, because Han Solo's at the bar! Shocker! but I really like that dress, and I would really love for Ashley to put out a navy skirt with the blood stripes on the side.
Now, Disney, you and I, let's level Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Oh, Disney that doesn't want to put out any Princess Leia products in their stores?
Yeah, that Disney.
Okay, that Disney.
Now, I know you guys think that there's no market for girls in Star Wars, but have you guys been hanging out at Darth Maul? You guys seeing how this is all flying off the shelf? I've got a proposition for you. Why don't you give Ashley a contract to put stuff in your stores?
What?
That way you don't have to do any of the work. You get a cut of the profits and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, give Ashley the contract.
I really don't think they understand how many girls wear this stuff. Like, I see people...
And it wasn't just the fangirls in their... The fangirls with their own disposable income. You hang around Darth Maul for any stretch of time watching the Her Universe booth, there are a ton of young girls who are seeing these clothing items and going absolutely bananas that they can get something like this.
Yeah, well, like I said, the fact that I bought four things and I can wear all of them to work without... I mean, there are probably people who work at work at offices with a little stricter dress codes that probably couldn't get away with it. But for me, I work in a business casual office, and I mean, I got comments, but they were mostly like, oh, that dress is so adorable. You know, oh, that skirt's so adorable. Like that sort of thing. The fact that I can wear these to work and it's perfectly fine. Like, people don't understand how awesome that is. Like, men have worn polos with their sports team logos on them on the breast for, like, however long, and that's perfectly fine. But now I get to show my fandom at work, and that makes me happy.
Show your fandom side.
Yes.
And now Ashley's given people a way to do that in a work environment with some very classy work attire.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
And I believe someone... Oh... Was it Nut who works in a... She works... I don't think she has a stricter dress code, but I believe her employers are a little less inclined to let...
Yeah, they're a little more conservative on the dress code.
But I believe she bought some of the jewelry and they didn't even...
Bat an eyelash, no. And it's really cool jewelry they have.
Yeah. The hair clip is really cute. I love it with my new haircut. So, this is the end of our commercial for Her Universe.
Her Universe, flaunt your world.
Yeah.
Click the link on the blog and get us money so
yes,
we can keep the blog running.
Yes, because you can buy
them
now online.
Yes, so go to the blog, click the links on the sidebar. That way we get a 10% cut every time that happens when you buy something from it, and it helps us pay for web hosting, which is very much appreciated.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And I guess we should move on now.
Okay.
Thank you, Ashley. Great products. Simon Kinberg says the first season of Rebels will consist of 16 episodes, and apparently Lando is in one of them.
Yay.
I don't know what I think about Lando, but I actually like the idea of a 16-episode run per season.
Yeah.
I love the Clone Wars, but I thought one of the problems was they had a tendency to drift a little bit, and I think a part of that was because they had such a long series.
The season meandered. Like, it didn't really have a point until maybe it got to the very end. I think it's because of the X-Files and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and shows like that, where I like shows that have a season with one plot. Like, they have, like, standalone episodes, but
they
have a big bad.
You're right. The X-Files and Buffy were great examples of this. They had an overarching plot, and then they do the bottle episode here, the funny episode here, the monster of the week here.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot more cohesion from week to week than the Clone Wars showed.
Yeah, and I like that they're having a shorter season. I probably would have even liked, like, a 13-episode season. That could be spread all throughout the year, where it's not just like, so you have the season that runs from September through January, and then you have another season that runs from like February to July, but that would be a lot of episodes to produce, so they probably couldn't
it
do
would.
That.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the following seasons were picked up for more episodes,
yeah.
But I really wouldn't mind if they stuck with 16 the whole run.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 16 episodes and Lando, and there are rumors that Obi-Wan will be appearing thanks to toy spoilers.
Yeah.
How do toys keep spoiling Rebels?
I don't know, but they have toys, like, in announcement, or I don't know if announcements or just catalogs or whatever they come from, but there's an Obi-Wan toy, so. Yeah, well, he might show up. I wouldn't be surprised, because you have James Arnold Taylor you can work
well,
with.
Well, when you have James Arnold Taylor at your disposal, I guess you should figure some way to work
him
in.
I wouldn't mind if, like, random people show up. Like, if Obi-Wan shows up, if Ahsoka shows up.
I will say I still kind of want Ahsoka to be there, Giles.
Yeah, but I do like the fact that the show is mainly going to be about this
core cast of five.
With Chopper, six. It seems like very much like Firefly, but having like other people show up would be kind of neat.
Now I want Joss to write an episode.
I think he's busy.
It's just the Age of Ultron thing. He's got some time.
So yes, Rebels coming out soon. It's very cool. There was also a new video released on the official site with J.J. Abrams, Star Wars Episode 7 director, from the Star Wars Episode 7 set in Abu Dhabi. And they are running another contest through Omaze in which you can win a role in Episode 7. This is similar to the same contest they had a few months ago where you could win a trip to Skywalker Ranch and meet Mark Hamill. Same thing, raising money for charity. So it's a good cause. Could also win a chance to be in Episode 7. So that's kind of cool. But newsworthy of this was that there was the appearance of the first alien chicken vendor in the galaxy far, far away.
An alien chicken vendor.
It's a little alien dude walking around with a thing on his back, like a cage, and looks like space chickens in there. And everyone flipped their shit because it was a practical effect.
Practical effect! Yay! Carbon-fy!
Like, literally, this is how little you need to give us to be happy.
Here is a space chicken puppet man. And everyone freaked out.
Yeah, pretty much.
It freaked out in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone was like, oh, they're going back to practical effects. Oh, everything's going to be wonderful now. They showed that clip at Star Wars Weekends, too. They also showed another clip of J.J. Abrams, you know, saying, welcome to Star Wars Weekends. I can't be there. I'm too busy.
I'm too busy with this thing called Episode 7.
We got those last year from George Lucas and Lawrence Kasdan because it was the anniversary of Return of the Jedi. So they were like, have a good time.
Sorry, we couldn't be there.
Yeah. We also got some breaking news, which was broke the Thursday before the wedding. And as we had guests at our home, and Bria blogged it from the airport. So thank you, Bria.
Yes, because we were otherwise indisposed with house
I'm
guests.
I'm really, really glad that this spoilers for the next announcement, did not break last Monday.
I don't know what we would have done.
There
was no one available to blog.
Yeah, everyone was either on an airplane or at Disney World.
Or driving home.
Yeah.
I mean, we had no one.
Yeah.
That whole weekend, what I should have done was just take the blog URL and had it redirect to Club Jade. I really should have done that the whole weekend.
But anyway, this news is that Gareth Edwards will direct and Gary Whitta will write the first Star Wars standalone film, which is due for release in December 2016. And
Oh, sorry. WordPress just redesigned on me and I'm...
I was like, did I say something wrong? Brian just made a face.
No, I'm sorry. I just pulled up the blog and WordPress just went through a redesign and they moved my cheese and now I'm very confused.
I'm Sorry. Don't say they moved my cheese. I still have bad flashbacks to that stupid presentation we had.
But it's so full of synergy and crap.
Yeah. Shut up. Anyway, we still don't have any news on what the movie will be about or who will be in it or anything of valuable information. So
we just know who's writing and directing.
Yay! And apparently Gary Whitta didn't like the prequels, so people were mad.
It's Star Wars. Someone's always mad.
Yeah. And finally, in the news that made all of fandom stand up and cheer today, there were two additional cast announcements for episode 7, and both of them had XX chromosomes.
Woo! Yay!
Two women, not one, but two. And one of them was a person of color.
Yes.
You're hearing this correctly.
You are hearing this correctly. First up, Gwendolyn Christie of Game of Thrones fame. And this one came out of the blue. This was not in the rumor mills.
I don't think she was rumored at
all. No, she was not in the rumor mills anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a couple now like that. Oh, who?
Max von Sydow.
Max von Sydow and Weasley.
Donald Gleason.
Thank you.
I like Weasley better.
Weasley, help Let's me. Just call help him me Weasley. Here, Weasley.
There's a lot of them, so granted, it might be a little.
No, the Weasley that's in Star Wars. I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry. But yeah, Gwendolyn Christie came out of nowhere, and wow, you look at that now, and kind of perfect casting. I don't even know what she's being cast for, but perfect.
Yeah, we don't know that for anyone. But the really cool announcement that was rumored, and people were very disappointed.
And everyone lost their minds when it was announced.
Well, people were kind of bummed it wasn't announced with the original cast announcement, because she was rumored to be in it. But I guess the rumors were correct, because Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave, Academy Award-winning actress.
Academy Award freaking actress Lupita Nyong'o is in Star Wars.
Yay!
Holy cow! Here is all the excitement that wasn't there for us on the initial announcement.
Yeah, see what happens when you add some more boobs to your movie, people get happy. There's another thing you could take out of context, people.
Okay, someone somewhere out there is cutting up sound clips for our soundboard.
Although I read a tweet to you that was very funny that said, okay, JJ, you can still do Star Wars, but if any of those women are in their underwear, we're going to have words.
Don't do that, JJ.
Yeah.
But woo! Yay! This is very, 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 very exciting.
Yeah. I am very, very, very excited too.
I mean, you guys just grabbed an Academy Award winner.
Yep. That's a good thing to have.
It's a very good thing to have. Mm-hmm. I am still just all sorts of giddy and bubbly about this.
Of course, people still don't know. We still don't know who anyone is playing. We don't know how big their roles will be, because
their roles might be small in this film, but it could be leading to
bigger roles
in episodes 8 and 9.
But someone did bring up a good point that there's a lot of people in what we think is the main cast, so it because we don't know who's going to... We're assuming there's going to be a trio of leads, because that's just how these things work.
What if that trio... Imagine. What if that trio is Boyega, Ridley, and Nyong'o?
That would be cool.
Would that not be the greatest?
Although I still want Gleason in there, because I want him to be a Skywalker so bad.
Yeah, that would be pretty... That would be pretty wonderful.
I have to give up on that hope, I think.
But there's a new hope.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes!
So yeah, yay! And I still wonder why they couldn't have just told us to begin with that they were casting more roles.
It might have behooved them to be just a little more open on that, saying, yeah, we're still casting two more important female
roles. And people say
that,
you know, this is Star Wars. You can't expect them to be open, but... Okay,
you can't expect them to be open, but they, on the other side of the coin, they can't expect not to be criticized.
Yeah, like, I mean, people are saying, oh, see, all that criticism and, you know, all the people being upset was, you know, premature. And, like, how can anybody being upset about an announcement be premature? Because all we have to go on is the announcement.
By that token, we should never say anything ever.
Yeah, like... It's to go back on the whole EU thing, it was them saying, yeah, it's not canon anymore officially. And then, hey, here's some new books. If they had been like, here's the cast, we still have two female roles to cast. So we realize it might seem a little skewed, but don't worry.
Hang on, we're casting two more.
Yeah.
Stick with us. That goes up. That really takes care of the bulk of the criticism.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Especially coming right off the whole Rebels character announcements when all of the two women were last and...
Didn't get any action figures until maybe San Diego Comic-Con.
And I don't think it was intentional, but it came off very badly and...
Kind of the same problem here.
Yeah. But,
I mean, if the only thing you say at the end of that initial cast announcement is, yep, here's who we got now. We're still working through some contract stuff, but we've got two more women we're going to be adding to the cast. Then the response is, holy cow, look, cast, and there's two more women coming.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Instead, it was, what a sausage fest.
Yeah. But putting all that aside, I will say, yay!
Now go get Helen Mirren.
Oh, God.
Now go get Helen Mirren.
Please.
Go get Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish.
Or Dame Maggie Smith. We'll take that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. New cast. Whole lot to be excited about. Today was... I didn't hear anything bad from the blogosphere with today's announcements. Everyone was very upbeat.
Everyone was pretty damn happy, which is shocking when, you know.
And it was kind of interesting to note the mainstream outlets that today in their write-ups on this news, all of them seemed to discuss the concerns people had with the initial casting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's the mainstream gets it too. So, yay diversity.
Yay diversity.
And speaking of diversity, can we talk about Star Wars Weekends again for a second?
Yes.
At Star Wars Weekends this weekend was this young boy.
Yeah. I believe he was there last week. I don't know if he's been there
He may
weekend.
Have been there last weekend as well. I thought I saw some pictures floating around from that. This young boy dressed up as Ezra.
Yes.
And this was a young boy of color.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is this that we've got Rebels giving people the option to cosplay as characters that they would have never had before? And we're going to get that, hopefully, with Episode 7 as well. Now, I will say, do not make Lupita Nyong'o an alien.
Please don't.
Don't do it.
Don't
resist, but yay representation, yay for more capable ladies in Star Wars. I think today the excitement level ratcheted up several notches.
Yes.
So hooray! Let's see. Anything else we need to cover today?
I don't think so.
I mean, there's some miscellaneous Episode 7 stuff. John Boyega and Daisy Ridley are on set.
Oh, yes.
If you're not checking out John Boyega's Instagram videos, you need to do that.
There's one of him on a camel. There's one of him on a camel.
And he's hilarious.
He's
very funny.
He's pretty funny. I know Peter Mayhew has arrived in London. Carrie Fisher's been in London, but I think she's just been there. I assume Mark Hamill hasn't gotten there yet because he'll be at Star Wars weekends.
Either that or he's going to be very jet lagged this weekend.
It'll be very interesting to see. Probably he's going to go right from Star Wars weekends to London. I'm really hoping we see some set pics soon and not some leaked ones from TMZ.
And I'm hoping that this weekend at Star Wars weekends, Mark Hamill busts out the Joker soliloquy again.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes, please. James Arnold Taylor, if you're listening to this, you're probably not. But if you are, please get Mark to do that.
Yes, please.
That's the news. Whole lot of exciting stuff. And we'll be back next week with more news, but probably less news, because we're not going to take a month between recordings. Sorry. Hey, what do you say we wrap this up with a little bit of Ask Us Anything?
Sure.
Hey, those of you in the chat, this is your chance to ask us some questions. Really do ask us anything. And we are going to start with one from Riorin, who asks us dark chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate, or other for the best kind of chocolate.
Milk chocolate.
Dark chocolate. What?
We didn't have to think about that one.
No, I did not. I did not have to think about that at all. And Sarah in the chat asks, if you could have any villain in the new movies, who would it be? So maybe not a specific person, although you can say that, but maybe a type of character.
A type of character. Even though I don't necessarily want her to be in the movie, I would like to see a female villain like Asajj Ventress or Isard or.
I'd like an Isard.
Yeah, someone like that.
I kind of want to get away from the Sith for a bit.
It would be nice to see like a tactical military villain. I don't know if they'll get away from the Sith, but I can see them.
Well, maybe not get away from it entirely.
They could have two.
Or they could have a Tarkin and a Vader.
Or a Thrawn and a Sabaoth. Yeah.
Interesting dynamics to be had there. And I don't think you have to go with straight on Sith. You can do something new this time and kind of explore some different villain archetypes. That would be fun. And finally, John Morton, Dak. Dak asks us, how much really will Joseph Campbell inform the post-George Lucas era of Star Wars filmmaking? That's actually a good question. We're obviously talking about Campbell's heroes.
Yes.
Mythology, the hero arc.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a big influence because I think everyone who is going to be involved in making Star Wars from now on is going to have been influenced by George Lucas.
I mean,
and the original trilogy.
I don't know if there's anyone that's more of a Lucas disciple in Hollywood right now than J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
So I see them adhering to the Campbell heroes arc, but maybe they subvert things in a way. They twist it, but I think they're going to stay fairly true to it. But here's a thought. You insert Daisy Ridley into the hero's arc, which is progressive in its own way.
Yeah. I mean, you can do pretty much anything with it. You don't have to do all the steps. You don't have to make it a blatant hero's journey, following the hero's journey as Star Wars might have been. You can play it up and mess around with it.
I do think it's going to be foundational, though. They're not going to stray too far away from it.
Yeah.
This is totally reading into it, but it seems like Lucasfilm is sort of moving back into the original trilogy as far as what they want out of their storytelling. We're seeing that a lot out of Rebels right now. It seems like they're consciously moving to match the tonal qualities of the original trilogy. So I can see them sticking with sort of the broad brushstrokes of Campbell for the sequel trilogy.
Yep, I agree.
And I think that's going to wrap it up for us today.
Wow.
I know. In under the hour mark. That's unheard of for us. Well, let's go ahead and just close up shop. This episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the blog. Keep the lights on. Help us pay our bills.
Yes, please.
You can find us on Twitter with the handles at Tosche_station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree on Facebook. We're the Tosche Station Network. You can find us on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, do leave a review. It does help us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tosche-Station.net. That's the official blog of the show. Thank you for catching another episode, and we will see you, we promise, next week. So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of Tosche.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.